You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Donald Trump's return to the White House has sent shockwaves across the globe with his second presidency, expected to bring sweeping changes to U.S. foreign policy. As far as South Africa is concerned, it presents significant challenges, particularly in navigating trade relations, geopolitical alliances, and the potential fallout from his administration's stance on multilateral institutions. I want to unpack this a little further and what all of this could mean for South Africa. We're joined by Peter Fabricius, who writes on international relations and U.S. Africa diplomacy. Peter, welcome and thank you. So what immediate changes, if any, do you anticipate in U.S.-South Africa relations under the second presidency?
Yeah, look, I'm not so sure about immediate changes. What we have to see is just how Trump's kind of aversion to free trade might impact us, particularly through AGOA, you know, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, which gives us duty-free access to the U.S. market, as you know. So there's some unknowns here, and that is what Trump himself thinks, because he's a sort of unknown quantity, unpredictable, and then also how the two houses of Congress, both now in Republican hands, will respond to his kind of pressure, whichever it might, you know, way it might go, you know.
Mm. But we have to be aware that his administration's America First policy is going to drive all decisions.
Yeah, so one can deduce from that that he's probably not very favorably disposed to AGOA, for example. I guess the only thing one can hope for maybe is that it's just de minimis, you know, minibus. It might just not fall under his attention, being too small to matter compared to the gigantic battles he seems to be girding himself against China and Mexico and Canada and so on. You know?
But Peter, given that Donald Trump has a focus on bilateral trade deals, do you think that we have any leverage to negotiate favorable terms with the United States, or is it too early to call that?
He does prefer bilaterals, but you know, there's an issue with bilateral trade with the U.S., you know, Trump notwithstanding. They've tried some time ago to do that, years ago, 10 years ago, and those negotiations just failed, you know, and partially because I think the U.S. has certain kind of requirements that it insists on every trade deal, and SADC, as it was, or SACU, South African Customs Union, wasn't up to that. So I don't see that's something he might prefer to, because it would be a reciprocal deal, obviously, that would come out of it. But I can't see that happening during his term anyway.
And he's also, as we well know, been vocal in his criticism of multilateral organizations. Surely this means something for South Africa when it comes to our participation in bodies like the United Nations and the WTO. Again, we need to be wary of this.
Yeah, exactly. He's not a multilateralist, and South Africa is very much a multilateral country in its foreign policy philosophy, at least. And of course, BRICS. I don't know. Maybe you're going to get to BRICS as another multilateral body that he's ill disposed towards, I'm sure. So that's another area of potential friction.
But that's a bit of a conundrum if we're talking about BRICS, because Donald Trump does have alignment with global powers like Russia and China. So that might play favorably or not?
Yeah, I know that argument. So it was quite interesting that when I had an interview with Ibrahim Rasool, who's just yesterday been fully credentialed as our ambassador to the U.S., and he said, oh, well, on Russia, we are in considerable alignment because both South Africa and Trump are very skeptical about NATO and think that NATO overstepped the mark by pushing up its membership to the, you know, boundaries of Russia. I think that's an argument you can overplay, though. It's been suggested to me because, yeah, he might have his own particular views on Russia, but there's still quite a strong feeling in Congress, I think, that is still sympathetic to Ukraine. It may not be sympathetic enough to continue with, you know, huge U.S. arms supplies to Ukraine, but it might be enough not to favor a South Africa position on Russia.
You know? And Peter, you also write about climate change being a low priority for the Trump administration. Do you think this is going to impact any on our efforts to transition to a greener economy? And again, it all comes down, I imagine, to international funding.
Yeah, so there's a strong suspicion that the US will pull out of the JETP program, the Just Transition, the Environmental Energy Transition program, where US and other Western countries put money into helping South Africa do that, to transition away from coal without hurting, coal communities and coal workers. But that in itself would not be a major setback, because it doesn't amount to a huge, I mean, it's probably a billion dollars maybe, which is, not chicken feed, but, in the greater scheme of things, not so much. I think it's a broader impact of Trump policies on climate change that are more of greater concern for us.
So, Peter, just finally then, I imagine it all comes down to prudent risk management. And given Trump's unpredictability, are there contingencies then that government and businesses should be preparing for in terms of trade and diplomatic relations? In other words, very simply, is there anything we can do?
Yeah, again, in that interview, Ebrahim Rasool was saying we should sort of load the volume on our megaphone, as he put it, on Gaza. I think there's probably some wisdom in trying to plan around doing without a goer, I mean, it's an important program, and it's been significant for certain industries in particular, like autos, fruit and nuts and so on. But there would be everyone would be wise to start thinking of alternative markets, I think.
I'm going to leave it there. Peter Fabricius, thank you very much indeed.